John on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the program. It is Tuesday, the 28th of March, 2023. Buckmaster in our 13th year, broadcasting now from the Green Thing Silkalo Village Studio. They have the naming rights. We're glad they do. In the Bustos Media Complex here in Tucson, we are on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. Worldwide live listening, that means anywhere in the world. Plug in the computer, go to buckmastershow.com, hear the program live, and of course we've got more than 12 years of content. All of our programs, pretty much all of them, since we launched our radio venture in January of 2011. When we do our telephone interviews, of which one will be forthcoming in a moment, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. And let's go now on the live line, the Pima County School Superintendent, Dustin Williams, joining us. Superintendent Williams, how are you, sir?
Bill, glad to be on. Glad to be on with your listeners, sir.
Well, it's another sad day in America. My goodness, another school, another war zone. What can you say about this, Dustin? I mean, it's just horrible.
Yeah, Bill, you know, obviously, first of all, and I know everyone with us, our hearts and prayers to all the victims of current shootings and all the shootings that we've had. We're in a sad state right now across the country. This trend of attacking schools, churches, public buildings, malls, is just not seeming to stop or even let down. And it's troubling. It really is.
So, what about security at our schools in Pima County? Do we need armed guards at each school?
You know, Bill, obviously that's on the table. We're looking at everything from obviously collaborating daily with Sheriff Nanos, Chief Kazmar, Chief of Police, TPD, all the schools meeting collectively on a regular basis, fortifying the schools as much as we can. But these intruders, when they have something set on their mind and hard set to get on there, it just makes it a massive challenge. We know that Superintendent Horn wants to put SROs in every single school. You know, is it feasible to do that? And what sources and what people and personnel do you lose because of that? So you get in kind of a dialogue of counselors and mental health that is also contributing to all of these factors. There's just not one silver lining that can answer it all in one step and that says, here it is. And then with the political divide that we have in the nation and the state, when we look at the leadership of our politics, getting anything done is more of a fight back and forth just at the leadership levels for our voting members. And so when that trickles down, you miss a lot of areas, and there's not a lot of stuff that's getting done to actually help these demonic situations that are happening in our lives today and killing our kids and killing our loved ones.
Let's talk about this legislative session. So much of this session has been aimed at public education. What are some of your thoughts? I mean, this idea of banning more and more books, I just wonder some of your thoughts on the direction the session has been heading.
You know, we've got a very divisive session that
yes,
is
sir.
Happening.
Yeah.
And what's happening is, you know, one political view is really trumping the political views of others, but we're not getting any compromise either. So what you're having is just one ideology with no other thoughts about other directions or other initiatives. So, for instance, you want to ban all the books and take all the control away from local schools. Well, we have elected governing board members, certified librarians. This is what we pay schools to do with administrators. And we have parents that want to be involved. These things need to be at a local level. And that's where it needs to stay. So when the state legislature comes in and you know, forces it upon schools, or the idea of forcing it on a particular entity, that strategy comes with a negative effect, and it doesn't boost morale, and it certainly doesn't want it doesn't make people want to work collaboratively. So whether you want to ban books or you don't want to ban books, the problem is no one is sitting down in a room and having a respectful, collective conversation that is in the best interest, number one, of the students, the school, and the community. And that is just not happening at all.
Then there's this whole issue of, you know, we started off talking about the sad situation with the shooting in Nashville yesterday. We just don't have enough school nurses. We don't have enough public health, mental health professionals in our schools. That's a huge issue as well.
Well, we're ranked dead last in counselor ratio for kids. We have for a long time. Now that's getting harder because the Horn administration wants every school to have the SRO before they're allowed to have a counselor or a social worker. And I don't want to get in the argument of that because it quite frankly, again, divides and pits the two against each other automatically just with that type of strategy. But we have teacher shortages. We have teacher aides, which are called parapros. I need bus drivers to even get the kids to and from schools. We have infrastructure issues of dilapidated classrooms, down to also security, fencing, and so forth, if you want to look at some areas to focus on as far as little things that we can work on. And then special education. And we're not getting anywhere, and that is the number one area with special education teachers that we have got to get going. We are so far behind just in teacher shortage ways that we're really missing the mark on what is in the best interest of kids. We've got to get away from this political divide. We've got to quit fighting. We need to come to the table with all of the stakeholders, regardless of your political affiliation, and start getting some stuff done.
Speaking with Dustin Williams, Pima County School Superintendent, are the grades starting to return after the pandemic? What's the academic achievement front look like in Pima County, Superintendent?
Bill, I'm glad you asked because that is the real narrative. To tell everyone what's happening, we're in these schools. Kids are really doing well. Teachers are teaching some really good lessons. We are getting kids caught back up. So the day-to-day work is, we're seeing the improvement. We had some big test scores come out with the last federal test. Not that I love these federal tests, but it is a little guideline to kind of assess how students are doing collectively across the county and the state. And they maintained or improved. So we're going to see what this new, there's a new federal test. We're going to see how that gets administered in March, and we'll see some new grades come out and probably early summer, but we're seeing kids back into the swing of things. They're back in school, they're face-to-face, and they're back to project learning. Some really, really good things are happening in our schools.
This semester is almost over, believe it or not. Where did it go, right? So graduations will be kind of back to the pre-pandemic situation, Dustin?
Yep, you're going to see graduations back with families together. And that's already happening, as you can see, with our sports and our bands and our arts and cultures and plays. Parents are back on campuses. Everybody's getting has already gotten back into the swing of things. So this year, graduation is going to be all together, and parents can start to plan those barbecues or those parties, and perhaps maybe even order one of those Danishes, Bill, that we talk about.
That is the perfect segue to Mona's Danish Bakery. So we will let you go on that note. Thank you for setting up the commercial. Dustin Williams, Pima County School Superintendent. Thanks, Dustin.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Dustin coming to us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Of course, we love Mona's Danish Bakery. As Dustin was saying, a Danish kringle would go. It goes well with any occasion. Kasmona's is home of the Danish kringle. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open at 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, 7 o'clock Sunday morning. Get there early. They do take Monday off. Well-deserved day off. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. Shelley Fishman with me in studio. Shelley giving me a thumb that is in the neutral position, but with a tendency to go a little bit down. Well, it's Tuesday at 12, about Shelley's time, 12:20. It's always a little bit suspect with the market. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how's your day going so far?
Well, I wish it were going a little bit better, but it's not too bad. It's Tuesday, and the market is only marginally down.
Oh, there you go. Hey, that cartoon in the Arizona Daily Star said it all. The Fed, with the big sword, is still at it and is going to slay inflation come what may.
Except that on the backswing... right. He's cracking a piggy bank called the bank sector.
Yes.
So the Fed's got kind of a couple of things going on here at once, some of it good, some of it bad. And what one of the things the cartoon doesn't talk about is the effect of the Fed's interest rates on the rest of the world's economies. And that's something that we first of all, they're not here, so, you know, far away and long ago and all of that. But what happened... last Wednesday, when the Fed chairman announced a quarter of a point increase, the very next morning, I think six or seven of the central banks in the Eurozone also increased their currencies about a quarter of a point. And it wasn't to control inflation. It was to preserve the value of their currencies. Because when the Fed does something that sets the dollar aside, if you will, and changes the value of the dollar, and interest rates will do that, then other currencies that have, number one, an awful lot of their own investments in U.S. currencies, but also the whole trade patterns of the world are very much regulated by the proportionality between the dollar and the various other currencies. So what it does is it takes away from the foreign central banks the ability to make their own decisions, and what they have to do is fall in lockstep with us. Now, that's not necessarily a good feeling for them. Clearly, this cartoonist was published today in the Arizona Daily Star. I got the idea right that the Fed, you know, has its focus dead set on killing this inflation dragon, but there's just unintended consequences and, you know, other things being damaged by the stuff they do.
And they wanted to keep the tone of setting interest rate, increasing interest rates. So many on Wall Street had hoped that there would not be a rate increase, but the Fed, I guess, just to kind of save face or whatever, said, "Yeah, we'll do a marginal quarter of a point."
Right. It was kind of a, you know, we had talked about Jay Powell being in this funny position. If he did nothing, then you know, the world would say you've been screwing this up for months. Mm-hmm. If he did something more extreme, you know, the world would say, "Wait a second, you've destroyed the banking system." Mm-hmm. So yeah, and he was in a very strange position here. Taking the quarter of a point might not have been the gutsiest move, but it had been priced into Wall Street. That said, Wall Street did react well eventually to the quarter point rise. However, there's other stuff going on now that adds uncertainty in the markets, and part of it is getting the banking sector kind of straightened out, and Silicon Valley Bank was finally purchased. That's a good thing, takes it out of the equation, but there's still some uneasiness in the banking sector, and there's something lurking on the sidelines that, you know, I didn't even want to mention today, but you can't really ignore. We've got this debt limit problem that Congress needs to raise the debt limit, and the Republicans are holding the debt limit hostage to some things they want the Biden administration to cut in terms of spending. And the Biden administration says it's off the table.
That, you know, will be my first question tomorrow when I speak at noon with at 12:04 with Congressman Juan Ciscomani. What are we going to do about the debt?
Well,
debt ceiling.
It's, yeah, I'm very interested. Yeah. What he says, of course, he's coming at it from the Republican side, and he's probably coming at it as a traditional Republican. Mm-hmm. I think he is one. From we have to control spending side of things. On the other hand, the Biden administration is saying, you may be right about that. We may need to adjust our budgets. We may need to do the things you suggest. Please give me a plan, and we can talk about it. But you're not going to hold the full credit of the United States ransom for these talks. We'll see who blinks.
Hey, you want to generate a lot of letters to the editor? Put together an article entitled "Why Poverty Persists in America."
Yes. So a guy by the name of Matthew Desmond wrote a book about this recently. It's gotten a lot of play. And in last week's Sunday New York Times Magazine, a very lengthy excerpt from the book was published under the title of "Why Poverty Persists in America." Now, normally this would be kind of interesting. You read it. Sunday's New York Times Magazine, they printed five letters to the editor that were prompted by this article.
Five among 3,500
letters.
3,500 letters.
And one was so important and so in keeping with some of the things you and I have spoken about on this show that I thought I'd read it.
Okay.
And it starts, "My husband and I arrived in adulthood with no generational wealth. Newly married, we had food stamps in college, and our tuition was funded by grants, scholarships, work-study programs, ROTC, etc. Nothing from our families, no loans, but plenty of options. We used the GI Bill to buy our starter homes, and they were readily available and at affordable prices. All our life, we've been lifted up and buoyed by the social construct. We have much gratitude for the ease of our life, but now we're filled with shame that the challenges for the generations that followed ours are so much more overwhelming. I feel like my generation walked through a wide open door and then slammed it shut behind us. I used to think human development would always progress toward a better world for all. I have been so naive."
Are you sure you didn't write that?
I did not write that.
A couple of weeks ago, that
was our topic. Absolutely.
Exactly. Very close to what you were saying.
Yeah, this is from Karen in South Carolina.
Well, maybe she heard the broadcast, because that was very much along your lines about this whole generational situation.
Absolutely, yeah. Bill. And I'm not letting this go. In fact, when you're on vacation in May, mm-hmm. and I'm back from Europe, where I'll be starting next Tuesday.
Oh, we'll hear from you on the telephonically on
you
the
bet.
Live line. Go ahead.
I'm going to have, for 2 hours in consecutive weeks, Doctors Michael Schaller and Brent Millward as our guests for the full 2 hours.
Great.
And what we're going to be talking about is just this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that the middle class that was so robust and so successful right after World War II has somehow eluded the generations that followed my and your generation? That Gen X, Gen Z, millennials are having such a harder time than we had. And, you know, these are very, very bright guys at the U, and they're historians and they're social commentators, and I am just looking so forward to hearing the things that they have to say about this. Speaking of Dr. Schaller, in today's Daily Star, he has an op-ed, a Tucson opinion, "Book Purging Fever Needs to Break Soon." And as an historian, what he's doing is he's saying, look, this is not so different from where we have been in the past. And he calls calls to mind some not so far in the past times, like the McCarthy era, where the propensity to cancel people, this cancel culture, the idea that if you could be somehow traced back to having, been once in attendance at a Communist Party meeting, in your father-in-law's house in, 1952, that everything you ever did in your career thereafter had to be burned.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who lived through the McCarthy era had to deal with some really difficult prejudice. And finally, interestingly, hearings that were aired in on national radio in the McCarthy Army hearings, the Army finally shamed him.
That's
right. Into admitting that all of this stuff that he'd wave papers in the air. I have, 3,500, names of known communists. And
that's when Humpty Dumpty started to fall off the wall.
It fell off the wall. He died in shame, by the way.
Yeah.
But for people who don't know this history and, might be a little interested, reading this op-ed today in the Arizona Daily Star by Michael Schaller is really, very, very enlightening. He doesn't talk about the stuff that we were talking about in his letter I read, but he really gets into the idea that historically what's going on in our country today is not unique.
Yeah, Schaller's terrific, and as is Brent.
Brent, yeah.
We've had both of them already on our new feature that we do now, Shelley, called the Monday One-on-One, and spent a half hour with each of them. They're terrific. We'll look forward to that conversation, and believe it or not, that's 7 and 8 weeks from today.
Right.
And your
but
trip
I'm already
to Europe,
preparing.
Yeah, there you go. And your trip to Europe is, we'll hear from you, calling telephonically from Berlin.
From Berlin next Tuesday, and then Prague, and then Vienna.
Safe travels to you, Shell.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll be right back.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, beautiful 13-acre site over by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Perfect time of year to think about spring gardening. And while you're there, stop by Zocalo Village, their sister business, check out their incredible selection of Talavera pottery, some beautiful items from Mexico, Central America, and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things. The folks over there, as we like to say, didn't get off the bus yesterday. 53rd year in business. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Now, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the Buckmaster Show former longtime Pima County Supervisor and now presiding justice of the Green Valley Court. Here he is, Judge Ray Carroll. Judge Carroll, great to see you.
Thanks, Bill. So happy to be here with you today. I was over at Green Things with my wife on Sunday, by
Were
the
you
way.
Really?
Had a wonderful visit there. And never some, had been there prior to
and
that.
Getting some spring color for
some
the garden.
Some plantings, exactly.
Some plantings.
And some good fertilizing soil.
All right. The Green Valley Justice Court is trying to build and maintain a successful DUI treatment program that really will help out not only the folks living in Green Valley, but kind of the rural areas of Pima County. This is a first for Pima County. Why don't you begin at the beginning? What's it all about?
Well, at the beginning, there's an inherited amount of files that any judge will take with this relocation. And when I got to Green Valley, there was a whole file cabinet filled with DUI files where there was not compliance. There wasn't a case status, basically, for years on these files. They were just put in the bad debt kind of program. It's called the FAIR program for the state of Arizona. So in order to see how we can get these files cleared out of the cabinets and as well get these people some driver's license so they can have the ability to go out and make a living and with work as dignity, et cetera, and the family and the quality of life could especially be helped there. So I started one at a time, calling in about 10 people a month and asking about their DUI. If they'd come at all, I'd get them on the phone sometimes. And in the end, I just developed this idea and then came up with the possibilities of having the first DUI court in Pima County because Green Valley is an excellent test bed, Bill. It's a good mix of rural and a little bit urban with Sarita and Green Valley there as the seat. And in the end, I had a great response from a lot of families from Aravaca all the way up to Vail, from a lot of people who I had just discussed from the treatment community, as well as people who've had DUIs themselves in the past. And I just spoke to one this morning about some tweaks that we're trying to give to the program. It's not for everybody. This is a program that was developed from just our own experience and with then the help of the county attorney, Laura Conover, the presiding judge of the Superior Court, Jeff Bergen, and especially a guy named Jim Morrow and a bunch of people out of Phoenix with the Arizona Office of the Courts. And the encouragement of Charlene Pesqueda, the new presiding judge at Consolidated Justice Court, things just all fell together. So I think we gave ourselves till the summer, or all of spring, so we've got until June 20th. But I think we're going to get some prospects in there early and start really fleshing out some more details of how helping a person, and I'll explain the program when you're ready.
Yeah, and I'm curious. So you said it was like a file cabinet, a lot of for how many were in there, first
over
of all?
Over 300.
Over 300. And over what time period?
Since 2006, basically.
These are people that they've had DUIs and they have lost.
They only drive illegally, Bill, if they drive at all.
So
but
part
none of
the
them
deal
really.
Through their conviction was loss of a driver's license.
Or compliance. And if you didn't comply after a certain amount of months, years, etc., you would lose your driving privileges. Some you have to take a special class, traffic safety class from MVD to get your license back. Most people have to comply with after the driver's license might be suspended with the breathalyzer built into your vehicle. So it's a big problem. Compliance and just people's habits and life got in the way a lot of the times. That it was really during COVID when I had a little bit of extra time and was dealing with, you know, the court in a new way. Mm-hmm. And I hired Kristen Randall from the former constable, as well as we picked up on a contract, Joe Ferguson, to help us launch two things. Mm-hmm. And this one was Joe's really major project, mm-hmm. and he's done a fabulous job getting it now to the ground where we are ready to launch it.
See, I don't know, and the reason I do this show every day is to learn something. And I had never really, had never really heard of a DUI kind of treatment court, or so maybe you could explain what that's all about.
Well, it comes from many states across the country. Here's one right here, Kansas.
Not
a very liberal state, okay? then we got Trump country down here, Miami-Dade, Florida, uh-huh. prosecutor there. San Francisco's got one, Los Angeles, Milwaukee.
Okay.
Probably went up to Milwaukee and had a beer when you were underage in Illinois once. Can I admit
it did happen a few times growing up. We've both been there. Chicagoland, we would head north to the state line when we would see the big sign that said Blatt's.
It said
Blatt's
old
beer.
Style.
Our old style. We knew we could legally drink in Wisconsin.
Yes, we are 18 years old probably, and that's how old you have to be to participate in this program.
Okay.
So let's say that a person got, as a nonviolent offender, not a history of violence or crime, mm-hmm. and the person gets pulled over for their first DUI.
Okay.
It's not an extreme DUI like you've read about these recent judges, like, mm-hmm. you know, like the one in Prescott. Did you just read that?
No, I didn't.
Pulled over, extreme. This is a first-timer with a regular DUI.
Okay.
That means 0.08 or less, you know, something around 0.08 until 0.10. Mm-hmm. There's going to be slightest degree, which is below that. Did you know Utah has a blood alcohol content of 0.05
no.
to be legally drunk? Arizona's going there.
Wow.
And eventually, this type of a program, we hope, after we have it as a seed in Green Valley, and we hope it blooms there, mm-hmm. and we're going to try to get 20 people in the program this year.
Okay.
So let's say this person's above the age of 18. Mm-hmm. They also have a first-time offense. They're qualified because they have maybe a job. They have an interest. And they can handle studying, like you said, learning something.
Yes.
And compliance is their foremost and first. They're on time for their arraignment. Mm-hmm. They've arranged transportation. They're eager to get a county attorney appointed to mm-hmm. them as an OCAC or a public defender, simply because everybody who gets a DUI is going to spend at least one day in jail. Mm. Some people who get an extreme DUI will have to spend a mandatory 10 days and then 30 days.
Then there's the cost, right?
Oh, $10,000 potential dollars for a young person or a person just starting out with a family. It could really be a devastating part of their financial hit. So the fact that we're trying this is in a test model. It shows that I think justice and law enforcement is becoming more accessible to the idea of drunkenness is one thing. Mm-hmm. Alcoholism is a disease. Mm-hmm. And what they're trying to do is catch these people young to see if these first-time offenders, and they might be a late bloomer. I'm talking mm-hmm. about someone in their first offense mm-hmm. in their 30s or mm-hmm. 40s or even a retiree.
They would go to a treatment
go
program.
Go to classes. No, not an in-house,
a
although
class.
We get those a lot. Yeah,
okay.
A lot of outpatient stuff.
Okay, and they would...
We're not doctors. They're going to get recommendations by an evaluator.
And how many classes?
For there's six phases of this program. And it could go on for as long as 8 months, could get it done in 6 months, depends on how you attempt to do it. Mm-hmm. So the numbers of classes really depend upon the degree of the person's interview and also the degree of the person's blood, alcohol, and other factors to see if they can get it done in six or if they have to take the full 8 months to get it done. It's very rigorous. It's like going to a semester at sea. You know, you've got to stay away from all the people, places, and things that got you to where you got in front of me in the first place.
Yeah.
So you really need to get isolating yourself and think about the program. You have to come in twice a week and drop. Go ahead and let us know that you're running a clean wife.
Drop, you mean?
P in a cup.
Oh, okay.
And then they take it up to be analyzed.
All right.
Drop is a very, I'm sure you've never been on probation, Bill, so I'm sorry to use it.
No.
The street vernacular. But we are down with the street people.
Hold your thought there. I've got a million more questions for you about this program. Justice of the Peace, Ray Carroll with us. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive. Time to hop in the car, truck, or on the motorcycle and head east. I'd take that three-hour drive, but one suggestion before you head over there, and there's so much to do, check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. All sorts of very tempting recreation ideas, great places to stay and to eat as well. All right, we continue now with our conversation with Pima County. See, that's the habit of seeing you, Ray Carroll, and thinking Pima County Supervisor. After all, you were Pima County Supervisor District 1 for about 20 years, but how time flies.
District 4. Allie Miller would be rolling in her political grave right now.
District 4, you are not my supervisor.
I was District 4.
Yeah, anyway.
And the line changed a little bit. I might have had the honor of being your supervisor for a short period in the first,
so
till the 2000 redistricting.
Yeah, that might have happened. So you had 20 years as a supervisor, and how time flies now. 5 years as Pima Green Valley Justice of the Peace. And this is a really interesting program that you are launching, kind of a first for Pima County and the state of Arizona, right, Judge Carroll?
Yes, just this last year there was a bill that was giving the ability for county judges to allow and work with a prosecutor to have what we call a deferral in a charge. So it's not to dismiss or drop. It's to order diversion and then to work with the county attorney, as mm-hmm. I said, Laura Conover.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for Bruce Chalk and Laura Conover and some other people in the office, we just couldn't have had this program.
And so the successful people are joining us, and that's what happens with radio, especially this is like a mini drive time. They may not have heard our first segment. We're talking about DUI treatment court is what this is all about. Now, can't someone just hire, we see these ads on TV, an attorney, I'll get mm-hmm. your DUI dropped, I'll get your driver's license back. We're not talking about, that's not who these clients are typically, correct?
Well, typically there's going to be anyone who's facing a DUI in the state of Arizona is going to be locked up for a day, at okay. least in jail. So as a result, anybody being, if found guilty, whether through trial or taking a plea, even, they're going to be able to, or being on supervised probation and in jail, you're going to get an appointed, because you're losing your freedom. So mm-hmm. you get a court-appointed attorney at that point. Now, some people will go out and hire Miss DUI. Her name is Michelle Behan or Joseph St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
Or other people in the big private sector advertising.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
On mm-hmm. DUI specialty.
Uh-huh.
Law, because, but all you should know, Bill, these DUI specialists that we have that are court appointed attorneys, they're just as great as anybody else you'll find in the bar directory, but they know the system even better.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you, just like these other attorneys can advertise, that they have been able to bring the wealthy and the connected, mm-hmm. the judges who've been charged with DUI, et cetera, down to a reckless driving charge with a lot of. Yeah, instead of having a $10,000 bill, the bill on a DUI is about reckless driving is about $675.
Can you retain your license with a reckless?
If you comply with all these parts of a reckless okay. driving, but I'm not
but
getting
anyway.
Away from my program
yes,
by
yes,
saying
yes,
to you,
yes,
yes, access to justice has a price tag that has always been. And always probably will be. What we're trying to do is let this program be an equalizer mm-hmm. for those that are one and done.
Right.
For the type of person that, yes, will comply with the six phases of our program, will allow to be tested, will work with the court therapy or a licensed contractor, that will go to self-help and try to find that small setback with a big comeback that we know that they probably should be looking for. We find a lot of people who comply, and I can show you letters of families who we've changed the dynamic, and the quality of life has gone up. And we get letters from defendants often saying, I was really in a bad place. I'm so glad that you were a tough but fair judge that made a difference. That's not why we started the program, but it now allows for people who aren't so well healed or starting off in life. And there's a lot of rural people where access to justice is also not helped. Because they don't have internet access. They don't have a ride normally because they're not usually leaving, whether it's someplace in Vail or southern Arizona, Sasebo, all the way to Aravaca, et cetera, all places in between. So they're going to have to attend some stuff, counseling especially, in face-to-face circumstances. But if they're in our program and they're showing compliance, we'll eventually allow them to maybe do some stuff on the internet. They'll have to attend, as I am going to be attending on April 13th at the La Posada Center in Green Valley, my first victim impact panel with the Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. We're getting Mothers Against Drunk Drivers involved. We're getting Alcoholic Anonymous and the Al-Anon schedules all posted there, so people don't have really any excuse at all to change their pattern of abuse. I mean, maybe these people might not be the full-blown alcoholics. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to get people that are showing signs of potential stress and slipping through the cracks, and also identifying ones who've got family members that were already dealing with one or two of the other generation mm-hmm. members,
so this,
and getting them ready for
this
a program.
This is all compliant with Arizona statute.
Yes, it is. Thanks, okay. God, to House Bill 2673, also double-checked and put out by the AOC as a recent memo here that I could quote from.
Is there a cost?
Saying that it's met. Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of cost for an average person. About $120 a month is the average estimated cost of the program. So that's $15 per urine test. Mm-hmm. That's also some other fees that are going to be accompanying this. If you have missed a test or you have to dilute, you drink, you know, for some reason we have a bad test, there's going to have to be additional cost there. But you have to pay for your evaluation sometimes. You have to pay for your treatment or your counseling. AA meetings are free, but not all self-help groups are. And some people might get excited about this program and want to run out and go buy some self-help books.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might want to join some other type of website where they're going to be able to
counsel. If they fulfill the program, does this expunge the charge?
That is when the charge will be deferred to a reckless driving charge, which is still a Class 2 misdemeanor.
Okay.
A Class 1 misdemeanor is punishable by $2,500, you know, possible financial penalty.
Okay.
6 months in jail, up to 5 years probation
for a. But
this would
kick it down to a lower
yeah,
charge.
To a Class 2, which is a $750 fine, 4 months in jail, 2 years probation.
Hmm.
In the end, you're going to have, in the end, this policy, the deferral mm-hmm. could end up in a dismissal.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, if you're going to take a plea, mm-hmm. there's a great chance that a lot of the community service that you're doing is going to go towards fines. Remember that $675 fine. We're conscious of the fact that this product is under kind of like a microscope. A lot of people are going to be watching it, mm-hmm. hoping to learn.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, that you've got a lot of questions throughout your life. Judges have a lot of questions about this, and that's why they want to make sure that I'm doing this according to all promises and are not handshakes. These are all locked in contracts that are personal sign, and in the end, they'll be able to know probably within half an hour of becoming familiar with it whether they want to participate in it or not. It's not for everybody.
Okay, and we're quickly running out of time. Do you have any idea how many people? You're going to start with about a dozen people? Is that what you were saying?
We're looking right now for prospects.
Okay.
And probably this whole year would take 20 people through the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But every Thursday, we have arraignment day. That's the first visit to face your charges and plead usually not guilty. Most people, if they're without an attorney, would know that you plead not guilty, and you go to a pretrial conference, you keep the ball up in the air, and then you try to work some usual diversion or program or a plea out. You know, 96% of all things in justice court usually go to a plea.
Mm-hmm. And, I've got just a couple of seconds. Judge Carroll, where could people find out more? What would you suggest?
I would suggest they just go ahead and call the Green Valley Justice Court, 520-222-0200, for any information on this. And ask to speak to Joe Ferguson. As you know, he's a qualified communications expert. And jferguson@courts.az.gov is his email.
Okay. Got to go.
Thanks so much.
Justice Carroll, always a pleasure. Thanks. Good to reconnect with you, and good luck with this program. Thank you very much.
Happy to be here with you today. Thanks.
All right. On behalf of Justice Ray Carroll and John, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well. Hope you all have a great afternoon.